be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Easter cards. Who sends them? Yeah. I got three. Got 10 times the amount of Christmas cards. Because who sends Christmas cards? Yeah. It's the big two, Christmas, Easter. You know, they're the bookends of the Christian faith. We have the birth story and then we have the resurrection story. This whole thing wraps up in terms of giving us this biblical narrative that describes to us the life and times of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And so we have these two holidays. And yet, they're unequal. Our commercial community, those of you in retail, would love it if Easter would gain the same traction as Christmas. Wouldn't you? But it's like the poor stepchild. It's never quite the same. You know, the Cadbury people have done a good job in terms of making sure you buy chocolate and eggs and things like that. And we have the basket. But it doesn't go much beyond that. It used to be you'd have to get your Easter dress and your Easter suit and your Easter bonnet. But we've moved past that for some reason because it never really has grabbed hold. Because these things are driven by really the commercial society. The society in the church, but also outside the church, because it is one of these kind of quasi-secular holidays that it's turned into. But I think the reason why Easter probably will never equal Christmas that way is because it's more difficult to grasp Easter. Christmas, piece of cake. Little tiny baby. We love babies. We understand birth. We understand babies. Everybody celebrates. We have parties. We have showers. We have celebration. We send out cards. Yay! When's the last time you had a resurrection party? We don't have a resurrection party because we don't understand resurrection. It's not a regular part of our life. It is what took place 2,000 years ago with Jesus being resurrected, and it is that thing that we anticipate, that thing we hope for, the thing we trust in, but it's not part of our life in terms of an ongoing event that we see happening. It's what we wait for. And it's what we hope for. I'm going to see if I can do this now. Dr. Shiva Kayanbashi is a physician. I had to write this down at the first service because I couldn't remember the name. She's a physician at San Francisco General Hospital. Now, San Francisco General Hospital, I understand, is not your first hospital of choice. It is a county hospital in San Francisco that's funded by the government that really deals with a great deal of homeless, indigent people or uninsured people. And so while the quality of care there is the very best that they can offer, it's not as upscale as a lot of us would necessarily want. So Dr. K first... I remembered the second name the first time, and this time I didn't remember the second name. Yeah, okay. So, Dr. K met Joseph Nassworthy as he's lying face down in his hospital bed, having the dressings on his back changed. Joe came to the hospital because he was having some pain in his back, and as it turned out, he had multiple melanomas. Not the little dot things that we're used to. Big ones. Because he was homeless and he was by himself and nobody could look at his back and go, oh, what's that? And so while they were changing the dressings, Dr. K kneeled down to introduce herself to Joe. And she said she was struck by the fact that Joe greeted her like they had been long-lost friends that hadn't seen each other for years. He just had a genuine warmth about him, and despite the pain that he probably was in, he greeted her with his great smile. And they almost hit it off instantly. Joe didn't have much time left. But it didn't seem to bother him. Since he was ambulatory, since he could get around, he really used his time at the hospital to work with other patients. He'd go talk to people. He'd push people around in wheelchairs. He'd make conversation with people. He'd comfort people when they were having a bad day. He always seemed to have a joke and certainly his smile. But he had his music too. Before Joe got involved with drugs and alcohol and found himself on the street through the myriad of bad choices that he made, he was a professional musician, a guitarist. And so it came to be a regular thing during Joe's time on Ward 4A that he'd pull a chair up to the nurse's station around 4 o'clock and he'd just start strumming different tunes. It became the thing on that ward. The doctors and the nurses and the aides would make sure that they had things taken care of so they could be there when Joe was playing. The patients who were able to get out of their rooms would go out into the hall to listen to Joe play. And there was almost no conversation that happened during that period of time because everybody wanted to hear Joe's gift, the gift that he shared. Dr. K became pretty close to Joe, closer than she normally gets with patients. And in one of their conversations just about life and things going on, Joe expressed one great regret. And that was that he had lost touch with his daughter. Natasha was born to a mother who was also an addict. And so she was born, she was addicted to crack and heroin. She was immediately taken out of that situation, placed in foster care, brought back to a fullness of health, and then she was adopted. Joe did his best, despite the fact that he was homeless, because she remained in the area to keep in touch with her as she was growing up. But when she was in her middle teens, they kind of lost track of each other. And Joe really regretted that. Dr. K was determined, because of all that Joe had been giving her and all the other patients, that she was going to find the missing daughter, Natasha. And she did. Natasha lived about 6 hours away. Dr. K got the information, gave her a call, told her exactly what was going on. To which Natasha said, "I'll be there tomorrow." And she took a couple of days off work and she made the drive down. When she got there, immediately they just began in conversation. Joe, if anything, was one who could talk. And they talked well into the night. The staff let her stay way beyond the end of visiting hours, and she ended up actually spending the night. They brought a reclining chair in for her to fall asleep. And they began to redevelop this relationship that they really never had, a relationship that I think both of them really wanted, a relationship they both craved, that of a father and a daughter. And so plans were made. They were going to transfer Joe up to the town where Natasha lived. They found a hospice center there where Joe could stay for his remaining days and Natasha could be a constant presence. Because of the paperwork and insurance and everything else in terms of making this happen, there was about a week of a lag time. And during that week, Joe took a sudden turn downhill. And so the staff called Natasha and said, you need to get here right away. And she didn't really have the means to be able to jump on a plane. And so the staff took up funding it for her. The staff on Ward 4A bought her and her infant son an airplane seat and got her down there as quickly as possible. One of the gifts that Joe apparently passed on to Natasha was the love of music. And so even though Joe was unresponsive by the time Natasha got there, she took the grandson that he had never known and put him on his lap, and she sang to him. She sang for 3 hours. When the grandson became a little too bored with the whole thing, the staff came and took care of him. And she continued to sing until his last breath. The staff decided, because of all that Joe gave, that they were going to give something back, and they had kind of an impromptu memorial service the next day. And it was there, for the 3 weeks that Joe was in Ward 4A, that staff recounted to Natasha all the things that Joe had given them. And she said at that moment, her father was transformed from a derelict drug addict to a caring, giving, loving man and father. At that moment, Joe was resurrected in her eyes. We celebrate resurrection, but we don't understand resurrection, because we've never really seen it, not the way that we celebrate it today, not with what God did with Jesus. But the resurrection, that understanding of the change that takes place, the rebirth that can take place, is something that happens to us on a constant basis. And it is something that we have the opportunity, we have the gift to be able to participate in. Because when we share the gifts that God has blessed us with, when we take the time to use the gifts that we've been given, whether it be the gift of music, the gift of laughter, the gift of love, the gift of compassion, the gift of caring, the gift of time, when we use those gifts in somebody else's lives, when we transform people's lives through using the blessings that God has given us, we resurrect people. We don't bring them back to life, but we bring back to life in them something that God had blessed them with. We have the ability through those blessings that God has given us to be able to transform people's lives, to resurrect their lives, to change them in a way that God intended. We live in a trigger society, that we're more than willing to be able to throw out vitriol and hatred and negativity at the drop of a hat. But the gifts that God has blessed us with are those gifts that allow us, when we take the time, when we make the effort, when we use the gift, to resurrect the love that God has placed within this world and within our lives. Just simply taking the time to use the blessings that God has placed within our lives, taking the time to use those gifts that have changed us, can resurrect this world to be the place that God has intended. It won't make a permanent correction, but at that moment, it will change people's understandings. It will change people's lives. It will change people's attitudes and understandings to to the blessings that God shares with each of us. As we await our day of resurrection, that glorious day where we return to God and we return to those who have gone before us to be able to celebrate the glory of what God has placed before us, until that day, we need to live our lives as resurrection people, working each and every day with the people we encounter throughout our lives to show those blessings that God has placed within our hearts, and to share those blessings with the world, to be able to enable this world to be a little bit closer to what God intended, to be able to take this world and make it a little bit better for the people we encounter. But most of all, to use those gifts that God has blessed us with, to truly be people of the resurrection, people who live and thrive within God's love. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.